Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk this morning with Dr. Chris Bergwald about ways we may sometimes miss the mark as Christians and as Catholics. So stick around for that interview this morning. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Brianna Wingen with the first and second reading. Father Darren Schmidt with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Amaziah, priest of Bethel, said to Amos, "Off with you, visionary, flee the land of Judah. There earn your bread by prophesying, but never again prophesy in Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and a royal temple." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was no prophet, nor have I belonged to any company of prophets. I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores. The Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people, Israel.'" The word of the Lord. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of transgressions, in accord with the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will in accord with his favor, that he set forth in him as a plan for the fullness of times, to sum up all things in Christ, in heaven and on earth. In him we are also chosen, destined to, in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will, so that we might exist for the praise of his glory, we who first hoped in Christ. In him you also have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him. We're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the first installment of our inheritance, toward the redemption of God's possession to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the TOTUS TUIS program and its teams were back this summer at parishes across the Diocese of Sioux Falls, meaning totally yours. TOTUS TUIS is a summer program where young adults lead summer Bible camps throughout the diocese. The teams come into the parishes and lead programming for children and youth, as well as engage the parish community through their witness. The catechetical themes for 2018 were salvation, history, and the joyful mysteries. You can read and see more about this year's TOTUS TUIS program in the July edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, the Adorers of the Blood of Christ held a prayer service and reflection this week to mark the first anniversary of the opening of a chapel in a cornfield that symbolizes their opposition to the building of a natural gas pipeline on their property in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. It also marked the first anniversary of the Religious Sisters federal lawsuit challenging construction of the pipeline. The chapel was built right alongside the proposed path of the pipeline by Lancaster Against Pipelines, a community group dedicated to opposing its construction. made of four posts and several crossboards. The simple chapel is located just outside of the pipeline right-of-way. Several benches are available for people to sit at, pray, reflect, and talk. The adorers hope that the chapel will draw people of all faiths to prayer and reflection about how land and other natural resources ought to be used. In addition to building the chapel, the adorers have sued Williams Transco, the company that would lay the pipeline, and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which approved the company's request to do so. The religious order said approval of the pipeline violated the sisters' right to practice their faith under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and they asked that it be rerouted. President Donald Trump announced this week that his nominee for the Supreme Court is Judge Brett Kavanaugh, a federal appeals court judge in Washington, D.C., and a Catholic who once clerked for retiring Justice Anthony Kennedy. What matters is not a judge's personal views, but whether they can set aside those views to do what the law and the Constitution require, President Trump said in his announcement at the White House, adding, "I am pleased to say I have found without doubt such a person." He said the nominee has impeccable credentials and is considered a judge's judge. "I am grateful to you and I'm humbled by your confidence in me," said Judge Kavanaugh, who was standing near his wife and two daughters. Kavanaugh spoke about his Catholic faith, saying he tries to live by the motto instilled in him by his Jesuit high school, "Be men for others." Kavanaugh, like Justice Gorsuch, attended Georgetown Prep, a Jesuit boys' school in Maryland. He also pointed out that his former pastor, Monsignor John Ensler, was in the audience and that he used to be an altar boy for him, and now the two serve the homeless together. The priest is the president and CEO of Catholic Charities of Washington. Judge Kavanaugh also gave a shout-out to the girls' basketball team at his parish, which he coaches and has been nicknamed Coach K, the nickname of Duke basketball head coach, that is, Mike Krzyzewski. Judge Kavanaugh said if he's chosen to be on the Supreme Court, he would keep an open mind in every case and always strive to preserve the Constitution of the United States and the American rule of law. Jesuit Father Tony Van Hee says nearly three decades spent fasting and praying on Canada's Parliament Hill to end abortion have been the best years of his life. At age 81, he has no plans of slowing down despite a raft of rule changes that, among many restrictions, even limit his bathroom breaks. "I have a need for solitude and the contemplative life of prayer, and oddly enough, I get that on Parliament Hill," said the priest. "A fixture on the hill every day the House of Commons in Canada is in session. Rain, shine, sweltering heat, or even bitter cold and snow of an Ottawa winter." With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Nice story there, Gene.
It was. It was very special.
All right, let's move on to our interview. Today on Catholic Views, we are joined by our often contributor, Dr. Chris Bergwald. And Chris, we're going to talk today about a topic that I hope people find useful in their Christian life. And the topic is ways that we sometimes miss the mark.
Yep.
Of being Christian.
Yep.
And we do, don't we?
We do. So I actually just, something that just occurred to me, Jerry. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for sin, hamartia, I think, or maybe it's the Greek. Anyway, it originally means to miss, it actually means literally to miss the mark.
How about that?
So we're not going to be talking about sins today. We're talking about that broader sense of missing the mark.
Yep.
That's not necessarily about sins, but I find I just connected those dots, actually.
And yet, sometimes we may not recognize that what we are missing is creating a sinful situation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So there is that potential in that.
Sin is disorder in my relationship first with God, mm-hmm. and then with myself, and then with others. And so the things that we'll be talking about today do that.
We're hoping, I think, to make this a little more positive in the sense of it's a great opportunity for us to think about how can I be a better Christian?
Exactly.
Probably is what we're really saying.
Yeah. So to me, my approach to what we'll be talking about today is just to point out some dangers, some traps, mm-hmm. some holes that you want to avoid falling into as we continue our journey through life as Christians.
Well, I don't know how you prepared for this, but I made a list, and they're not necessarily in a particular order of priority.
Okay.
But let's maybe go back and forth. I'll let you start.
That sounds good. Oh, thank you. I was.
I'll let the guest be the heart.
That's very kind of you. So speaking of starting, who goes first? I think one of the things that we as Christians get wrong often, and I'll say that I get wrong often, is forgetting that our faith, everything what it means to be Christian, starts with God and His initiative. It's before it's about what I do or even who I am. It's about who he is and what he's done for me and for you and for all of us.
Wow.
I think too often we tend to skip over the fact that he's the one who initiates everything.
So talk about that just a little bit more in terms of what does that lead to?
Yeah, so what that means is, okay, this is going to touch on things that'll come up later, but when I think about my relationship with him, am I going to find him? Because I need to go out there and find him.
Hmm.
We talk about that. I talk about that a lot, Jerry, even, right. You know, today.
Right.
But the reality is he's looking for me. He's, as the psalmist says, the hound of heaven.
Right.
He's seeking after me. It's not like he's sitting up in some high castle, you know, out by Pluto that I have to go and journey for him for. He's here seeking after me. So there's a searching that we rightly talk about in the spiritual life, but we have to be careful and not misunderstand. God loves each one of us intensely and is always waiting for us to turn to him.
It's just sometimes just a little shift in our thinking, a little openness that maybe we don't allow. It's whatever it is that and then there God can be.
Exactly.
It's not in the thunder, it's in the whisper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
From Elijah in the Old Testament.
Right.
So related to that then, what you said, just a little shift. Deacon James Keating is the director of the Institute for Priestly Formation in Omaha. Many of our priests get trained for spiritual direction through the Institute for Priestly Formation. And he made a point that in order for us to be with Jesus, all it takes is a slight turn of the will.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way that you just described it reminded me immediately of that. It's just a little...
Yeah, yeah.
And just a small decision. Okay, you're here, Lord. Help me to see you.
Well, the point being, it's accessible to all of us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And God is desiring that.
And he
us.
Desires it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. I like that. My first one, I think, relates directly to that, but maybe puts it a little perspective, and that is regular daily prayer.
Yep.
And by that, I don't mean to spend hours and hours necessarily, but that there's some intentionality about that. And maybe all that means is I'm open.
Right.
And I'm open to hearing the God who was already searching for me, who was already there.
So what's the
but it's relationship.
What's the mark that we miss then, Jerry? Prayer is in response to what mark?
I just think we don't do it. I think it's easy to forget. I think it's easy to not get in the habit of.
Yep.
And even if some days, and you've talked about this before, even if some days it's kind of rote.
Yep.
You know, maybe it's not as meaningful some days as I would even want it to be. It's there. It's the persistence. It's that persistent openness on my part and the persistent seeking of God that we're trying to connect.
Exactly. And I think a couple things on that. You said not hours and hours. We have to pray according to our state in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you and I are both husbands and fathers. You're an empty nester now. My kids are still at home. But we have to take that into account.
Right.
So you, as an empty nester, might have a bit more free time than I do to pray, and yet both of us don't have the time that a cloistered religious has.
Correct.
To pray. So we have to take that into account. The other thing, too, you talked about how the persistence of getting into the habit, but that persistence of persevering, because it's very easy. I have a recent example for myself. We won't go into the details, but it's easy to fall out of the habit of prayer because it's a relationship.
Right.
Some habits just stick after a while, but it's like a conversation with our wives. Like we have to be intentional about having conversation with our loved ones.
And you might find yourself, even if you're doing a regular prayer, you might find yourself wrestling a bit with what you're doing or how you're doing it. And this is something I'll tell you I experience. Sometimes I think, Lord, all I'm doing is just saying the same words to you every day over and over and over. And some days it feels like that's not really appropriate.
Right.
But then the next day it's like, oh, well, I'm just trying to share, you know, what's going on in life with God.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Different days, different experiences.
Yes, sir.
All right. Number two
so
for you.
So mine, this is on my list. Another danger that we can have to avoid is we can sort of reduce our faith or how we live our faith out to maybe our favorite area. So concretely, to follow up on what you were just saying, sometimes if prayer, because this happens to many of us, prayer at some point does become meaningful. and we can't go without it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that becomes the only dimension of our faith. We don't engage maybe in study. We don't, and I'll talk about those things separately on their own. We don't engage in study. We don't engage maybe in caring for the poor or the hungry. We don't do these other. We reduce the faith to the thing that we are particularly drawn to and attracted to, and we lose sight of the whole picture of discipleship.
Yeah,
I think that's something that we really have to be attentive to ensure, and that's where others are helpful.
So, in the sense that God is very big,
yeah,
and is interested in everything,
exactly,
we ought not to be so parochial.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't reduce. Don't be so reductive. Would be another word. Mm-hmm. Don't reduce our faith to just one particular thing that we're drawn to.
Because by doing that, we reduce God.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to come back. This is going to be one that I want to talk about in detail. He, as you just said, he's interested in every part of my life, mm-hmm. not just my prayer life or not just my study or whatever it is.
All right. Well, that's a. You see, this is interesting because a theologian is thinking about this just a little bit differently than I am,
sure.
Which is good because yeah. I think both perspectives are pretty important.
Amen.
My next one is I'm taking advice from my mother. Okay, it's
that's
the
good.
Old words, offer it up, and by that I'm talking about even maybe just tiny little mortifications that we can do rather easily. It may be as simple as declining dessert. It may be as simple as letting somebody else have the last piece of whatever it is at the family meal that there's a, you know, everybody wants. It's just little things like that. And what does that do for us? I think it helps us think less of ourselves.
I what I like about that, there's to me two dimensions of what you're just speaking to, both of which are very important. Offering up the suffering that comes to us that we don't seek. And then offering up the suffering that we choose, the little mortifications, the small penances, as you're just speaking to. I think we forget the value of both of those mm-hmm. as Christians. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably don't need to say a lot more about it. It's there and it's so available to each of us
right.
all the time.
Right. I think especially with the one, I'll just add this, with the suffering that comes to us, that pain can be turned into something powerful and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We can offer it up literally for the salvation of the world,
mm-hmm.
but for the salvation of a loved one, joining it to Christ's sacrifice on the cross, his pain, it can become salvific. We forget about that pretty often.
Great
or don't
point.
Know about it.
Great point. All right.
So dovetailing on what we were talking about a bit ago, I think we forget that again, as you were saying, that God is interested in every part of our life. I remember early this year, months ago here in 2018, the Minnesota Vikings were in the NFC Championship game. Through you, actually, I was approached by local news media wanting to talk about, is it okay to pray for the Vikings to win?
Right.
And of course, one of our priests, Father Tom Fitzpatrick, is from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So he may have been praying for the other team, the
yes.
Eagles, to win.
Yes.
And my response to that sort of, you know, that lighthearted question, but real question is, of course it's okay because God is interested in, God isn't thinking like, well, I don't care, football, really? I mean, really, football, it's just a game. Come on. No, he delights in everything that his children delight insofar as it's good, of course. So he's, just as you or I are interested in what our kids enjoy, so too is our Heavenly Father interested in every aspect of our lives, not just our prayer time, not just our mass time, every part of our lives.
So what I hear you saying, what I hear you saying is that the Vikings fans didn't pray enough and haven't been for what, how many years? 50
some years.
We won't
talk about that. As a native son of the fair state of to our northeast.
I don't mean to make light of it because I think you're absolutely right, and that's an important point that God delights in the same things. He's interested in everything.
He is.
That we're involved with.
And yet, the sorrow and the pain and suffering that we as Vikings fans endure, Jerry, we can offer up.
Mm.
So
nice tie back. Nice tie back there. I appreciate that. Maybe along the same lines, if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, now you could do something of my next one, and that is Offer words of encouragement to others.
Ooh.
It's a very simple thing again, and the Eagles fans could do that now for the Vikings fans, right?
Amen.
They could do that. No, offer words of encouragement because it is all about relationship. Certainly our relationship with God, but as the gospel tells us, whatever you do to the least of your brothers, you've done to me. And so encourage our brothers and sisters, encourage others that we encounter. Sometimes it makes a world of difference in somebody's dismal day.
Yep. Yep. Amen. I think that's too often neglected. We're not in this alone. And there are times when I need to be encouraged and there are times when I need to encourage. And this is all building on each other. If I'm praying,
right,
to your first point, I think, if I'm praying, I'll be more attuned to those nudges of the Spirit when I'm supposed to encourage somebody than if I'm not.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and that happens. I've absolutely had that happen in prayer. With like somebody is just all of a sudden very present in my mind.
Yep.
And that tells me something.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. My next one, do not neglect study, doctrine, teachings. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. I can't love what I don't know. So if I take seriously the commandment to love God with all my mind, soul, strength, heart, etc.,
yep,
then I need to study not to become just smarter. I mean, that happens. Not just to know more.
That I need
happens.
That to become
no
smarter.
Comment from this side of the table. Yeah. But so that I can love him more.
Right.
And so that I can ensure I'm loving the real, true God and not just an idol of my own imagining. Is the God who I pray to, who I'm in relationship with, who I adore in Mass and the sacraments and adoration, is this the real, true God that's revealed to us in Scripture and through the teachings of the Church? By my study of Scripture and the teachings of the Church, I purify my understanding of who he is so I can love him more deeply.
It dovetails right into one that I had on my list as well, and that is taking advantage of resources. Because today, there's really no excuse not to do what you're yep. saying, right?
Yep.
Between the internet and just so much out there, almost too much out there. Not that it's all equal.
No.
So you do want to know your sources, but take advantage of them.
Yeah, and so the internet, books, still magazines,
Catholic radio,
Catholic radio, multimedia avenues to deepen our understanding.
Apps.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of apps.
Amen.
For your phone.
Yep.
So, oh, good. Okay.
So was that mine or yours?
Well, I into yours. So you're next.
Missionary discipleship is a phrase of St. Francis's. And this is an area where I think Catholics especially, many Catholics have been seeking to do, and not all certainly, if you're listening, maybe some of these things have resonated with you, but some of our listeners, Jerry, I'm sure, but yep, I'm trying that. Yep, I know about that pothole. But this is one, in my experience, where many even faithful, devout Catholics struggle speaking about our faith.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of our culture, we don't talk about religion and politics, right? We've talked about this many times before. We don't want to come across as imposing or come across as judgmental. Amen and amen and amen.
Right.
And yet. when I met my future wife, I told people about her. In fact, when I met Jermaine, before we were dating, I went home at Christmas break and told some friends, I met the woman that I think I might marry. She found out about that later and was a little weirded out by it, but if you are in love with somebody, you want to share that, not like bang it over the head, but I have, okay, whatever words you want to use, but just, my relationship with God has deepened.
Yep.
And I want to share this gift with you because I think it can change your life just as it's begun to change mine.
Right.
I think we have to, and we talk about how, we have talked about how over the years, but we have to figure out how I can share my faith, not just through my life, but in my words as well with others.
So I'll go back to where you started, missionary discipleship. Being a disciple means you're a follower of Jesus.
Yep.
And being a missionary means you share about being a follower of Jesus.
Yep.
I had something very similar on mine. I termed it a little bit differently, but it's essentially the same thing. And it's and I think it is something that we miss. We don't embrace it like we ought to.
Right.
And, and it is an opportunity, and it's a shame if we miss it.
Exactly.
So, So, again, I'm dovetailed right off of yours, and I'm sending it right back to you if you got any more.
There's a trend developing here.
I like it. And we don't have a lot of time left.
Okay, so there's one related to the first one that I started with. God takes the initiative. I think sometimes there's a danger, a temptation for us to reduce our faith to what we do, to our morality.
Mm-hmm.
That faith, a lot of Americans in general, and certainly including many Catholics, when they think about religion, it's reduced to morality. It's reduced to how we act. It's got to be that, but again, it's more than just that. So I think a temptation to avoid is not reducing our faith to just being nice, being kind. It's that plus much, much more. Mm-hmm. So again, echoing what I said about it's not just about prayer. It's not just about how we live. It's about how we believe. It's about God first, et cetera, et cetera.
Amen. My last three, I'm gonna lump them together because they in a sense they all fit. One is avoiding gossip because I think that's a danger that we can all fall into. And the other two relate back to where I started, and that is the prayer. One is adoration. I think we miss the opportunity to use adoration. It's such a powerful tool. And the other relates to the first, and that is praying for others, because again, it lessens our focus on ourself. And boy, in the culture that we live in today, it's so easy to get sucked into self-focus.
Yep.
So praying for others helps you get outside of yourself. And if we're not doing that, we may be missing
Amen.
The mark.
Yep.
So, well, are we there?
I think we're there.
It's great stuff.
Yeah.
It's just a chance, again, listeners, Chris and I aren't claiming to have all the answers.
No.
But it's, you know, taking a little time to think about this. And I bet you could come up with your own list if you sat down and thought about it a little bit. Kind of an examination of conscience.
Exactly. And I think to me, like the ideas that we shared might provide fodder for your own, examination of conscience.
All right. Well, that's our interview today for Catholic Views. Dr. Bergwald, thanks for being with us.
You bet.
Gene, I want to call people's attention to two events that they'll find on the front page of the diocesan website, sfcatholic.org. One is the Stewardship Conference coming up at the end of the month, with people can attend. And also,
there's Holy Smoke Car Show, a fundraiser for seminarians.
And as Father Haggerty described it, a block party for everybody.
It's been a big deal each of the times that they've had it already, and it promises to be a big time this time. So be sure to get out there and support them.
That's the 21st of July, so a week this coming Saturday. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. Please join us again next Sunday.